You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show, serviced by Jaffco Plumbing and Sewer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Are you ready for a good day?
I mentioned today feels like Crossroads Day here in Seattle. What happens next with a bunch of these teams in town? They could go in a whole bunch of different directions. But from the Mariners specifically, and just kind of talking to you guys as fans, what's going to make you happy? It's a simple question. It doesn't have to, you don't have to have a specific answer to it. You could name a specific player that you want or something like that, but ultimately, what will make you happy? What is it? There we go. Like Pharrell says, what would make you happy as a Mariner fan this offseason?
There's a lot.
It's the beat. Oh, it's like a loop beat to happen.
I didn't know if you wanted the extra instrumental.
That's all right.
I
was sort of hoping to hear Pharrell sing. My kids love that song.
We could do that, too.
Right, at some point. Now, let me talk to the people. We only have limited time, but... Okay, it's distracting. It's actually kind of bothering me. There we go. All right, that's distracting.
Okay.
That's enough. I'm looking through some of your answers here for everything from signing Russell Wilson to play second base to just doing whatever it is, just get in on the action. That comes from Nick. I hate that answer. To me, that's the worst kind of an answer. And I appreciate it, Nick. Thanks for texting in. He says, what would make me happy is to do something. I don't care who it is. I just want action and don't want to sit on the sideline and say we were in on deals. Really? You don't care what it is? You just want them to be active. I think that's the worst way to approach it.
So was the question, what name would make you happy?
No, just what would make you happy?
Okay.
Right? I mean, like, what can possibly make you happy? Is it that they need to sign three people? See, I want, what makes me happy is the Mariners targeting a couple of players that they specifically believe will make them better. They need two big stars and probably two to three role player type of guys.
Sure.
I think they've got one of those role
Frazier's
player guys
role
in
players.
Frazier. I like the Frazier deal. That made me happy. So, I saw it and went, okay, that's cool. The only thing I don't like about Frazier is that he's only around for a year. That's not necessarily part of your future. But okay, that's a good deal. That makes you better. What are you going to do to increase some of the star power so that at the ends of games, like the veteran hitters that win games for you in baseball? How many times last year are you just sitting there like, I hope the lineup just comes back around to Haniger, France, and Seager because they're veteran hitters who I think are going to trust in a big spot. You need some guys who are veteran hitters that can carry your team for stretches at a time. Who are you going to go to get to do that? It's not going to be Marcus Semien. I wanted that. Is it going to be a Chris Bryant, a Trevor Story? So it's not that I need them to do anything. I need them to bring in a veteran hitter that can carry them for a stretch and lengthen this lineup. They need to replace Seager's production and improve on it. That's the goal here. You've got to replace what you lost and then start to add to it. Does Chris Bryant do that? Yeah, absolutely. Does Trevor Story do that? Of course. They are both better players, straight up better players than Kyle Seager. So right then and there, you are improving over last year.
I want them to do what they said they were going to do,
okay,
which is the next step of the rebuild.
Okay.
I want them to prove it.
That's what makes you happy.
Yeah, I want them to stay the course, if that's what they're doing. Don't do the dip and dunk of the Mariners version, whatever that is right now. Go out and make those two. I want one starting pitcher and one major impact position player.
All right.
That would make me happy.
206-421-3776. Grab Jack, who's in Seattle. Jack, what would make you happy?
I would love to see one splash, and specifically, I want Story. I've been on that Story train for a long time. I mean, the guy had a down year, right, and still hit 24 bombs, hitting 250. And arguably, we could get him at a discount at a young guy who could play, you know, slide over and play really good third base for us. If you go into the season with an infield, you know, Story, JP, Frazier, and France with Toro as a utility guy, and then, you know, Toro could play second or third, Frazier mm-hmm. could hop in the outfield. I think that's a really complete infield. And I know there's more work to be done in other parts of the squad, but just seeing one big signing for, you know, a guy, a right-handed bat who can play third and hit a lot of home runs. I mean, he was I think he hit the most home runs in his first 100 games as a shortstop or something like that.
Yeah, he came out on fire as a rookie.
You know, so I think he fits the squad really well. I'm going to say he fits it even better than Chris Bryant. I just have more faith in him going forward. But
I appreciate
that, that would make me really happy.
I appreciate it, Jack, and thanks for the phone call. And I like Trevor Story a lot. He came into a tough spot in Colorado. It's worth remembering Troy Tulowitzki was a god there.
Right.
Maura, you were there right in 2007, right, when they went to the World Series. I've never experienced anything quite like the entire crowd there going. They would do the dun, 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 too low. And like they were, I mean, he was that franchise for a long time. And for Trevor Story to come in and do what he did, replacing him, I thought was very impressive. He came out like a house of fire early in his career. Yeah, there's some concern about the Coors Field effect. Of course there is. How could there not be? We've seen too many other guys leave there and have issues. But, you know, Nolan Arenado seemed to be the real deal and sure showed it this year in St. Louis. And so you got the opportunity, hopefully, to see the same thing from Trevor Story. That would make me happy. I would absolutely be pretty happy about Trevor Story. Sean's in Long Beach. What's up, Sean?
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
Great.
Hey, I agree with everything you guys just said. I love the Frazier acquisition, especially when we have the depth with Toro. But, you know, Jerry bet on himself when he let Seager go. Now it's time to go out and get a guy like Chris Bryant, like Trevor Story. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, even on Twitter the other day, I saw Stroman was interested in coming to the Mariners. He tweeted at JP and
yeah, how about that? Did you see some of that? Just to tell people who aren't you know, glued to Twitter all day, J.P. Crawford. Well, first it was Paul Sewald, right? And then J.P. Crawford, both kind of tweeting at Marcus Stroman, saying like, "Hey, man, come out to the coast. It's nice up here in the Northwest. We're building something fun." And he's
into it.
Yeah, he seemed pretty into it.
So, you know, Jerry's been betting on himself. You know, like we have all this payroll, we have money, and, you know, we let a couple free agents slide. Now it's time to go out and get them.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the phone call, Sean. Hopefully you are happy here by the end of the day, because there's a lot riding on today. It looks like, just checking through here, it looks like the Mets are just about done here with Max Scherzer. So it sounds like he will end up being a Met. Man, they are spending a tremendous amount of money. We talked about them earlier that, you know, with the Kevin Mather stuff, that I think it does hurt you. I think it does hurt the your ability to go sign free agents, what he said in the offseason. But I also think it doesn't kill you. Look at the Mets.
Just going to say that. Thank
their owner's a nut. I mean, some of the things he said should absolutely destroy their ability to sign free agents. He's about to, you know what gets free agents? 3 years, $130 million. That's insane.
How old is he?
Scherzer's 38, I think.
No way.
3 years, $130 million, according to Ken Rosenthal. So yeah,
37.
Like there's money has a way of digging yourself out of some of those problems that you might find yourself in. I got a ton of texts here. I mean, like a million. It was hard to even get through it. What would make you happy? Pitching, pitching, pitching. That comes from the 253. Here's my thing on pitching. I think, and that's not to say the Mariners won't go with a free agent pitcher. Stroman is a very interesting option. My feeling all along is that I would like to see them and believe that they will acquire bats through free agency, pitching through trades.
Are you okay with pitching coming later?
No.
Okay.
Do you need pitching?
I agree with you.
You need pitching. Pitching is what wins. You need pitching. And you can never have enough of it. Remember what happened to the Mariners? I mean,
you also need to score runs.
Yeah, pitching. You need pitching. Starting pitching is what everything in baseball is built on. You need pitching, and you need it as much of it as you can get. So I have always felt like this offseason will be about free agent bats and trades in the pitching market. I think Jerry gets nervous, and I think understandably so, to sign veteran pitchers to big-time long-term contracts. Right, I think it's really hard to project what a pitcher is going to do over 6-7 years once they've already hit free agency, which generally means they're at least 29, if not 30. I don't blame them. That's where you end up with like Felix Hernandez broken down at the end of his career. And the problem is when pitchers get old and broken down, they're unusable in ways that bats, it just doesn't happen for position players. Broken down expensive pitching is a franchise killer. broken down expensive bat. You can kind of hide him. You can move him to DH.
Right.
Maybe there's something you like to make him pop through for a little bit and have a good run. Once the pitcher is done, they're done. So I would love to see them continue to spend money in the free agent market at position players, and that's why I'm with you on Trevor Story, Michael Conforto, Chris Bryant. Those three names are all really interesting to me. Would I be excited about Stroman? Sure, on the right deal. Yeah, of course, he's a good pitcher. I'm never going to say no to a good pitcher coming to the Mariners. But I'm much more excited about dealing with the Oakland A's for one of their starters. I'm much more excited about dealing with Cincinnati for one of the starters that they have there. I think you've got some real opportunities if you're the Mariners to get better. Use your tradable assets to acquire pitching and use your money to acquire hitting. Now, what we also have learned, and I thought this was fascinating last week, is you can do both. You can use your money to trade and acquire pitching, right? Take on a contract that another team doesn't want, and in exchange, bring back a younger pitcher that you think has value. Maybe it's with Baltimore. Maybe it's with Cincinnati. Maybe it's with Oakland. I love that idea. You just got to go find a way to do it. So there's lots of things left here for the Mariners to do, and today may not be the deadline, but it's kind of the deadline.
Well,
they're going to lock this thing out on Wednesday, and if you haven't gotten your deals done by the end of the night tonight, you may not be able to get them done until who knows when this thing ends. By the way, why in the world are they going to lock out their players? What is happening in baseball? How stupid are these people? People, like, they're all... I saw Buster tweeting about this, and I totally agree with Buster only. This system is working so well that right now, every free agent and owner is willing to cut a deal under the current system. It's working.
Right.
Why are you going to blow this thing up? That seems ridiculous. This is working. If nobody was signing right now and it was like a vast wasteland where everybody was waiting on one side or the other, either the free agents were refusing to sign or the teams were refusing to offer them good contracts, then you would say, yeah, clearly something is wrong. One of these sides is so upset that they can't possibly exist in this system. But both sides are showing right now they are okay in this system. What in the world would make them blow this up? Come up with an extension. Do something to avoid a lockout. You're obviously close enough that you can both function here. I hope that both Rob Manfred and Tony Clark have a good sense that this is possible moving forward. I know it's a side note. I know we're more focused on the Mariners, but geez.
Yeah, kick the can one more week, maybe.
Gosh, do something, because obviously it's working right now.
What was the report we saw yesterday before, maybe this week, about Bryant maybe wanting to wait until after?
Maybe.
Lockout?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are players that we thought would wait until after the lockout because they think that there may be a better climate for them. But I think that's the unknown. Right now is a known quantity. You know what you're getting. Who knows what's going to happen after the lockout? Who knows? 206-421-3776. You can text. You can call. What would make you happy? Let me quickly grab Kevin in Port Orchard. Kevin, go ahead.
Good morning, Mike. Hey, I don't really mind the Frazier deal, but here's what I hate. I hate that the Mariners in this regime are always talking about, let's get guys that are flexible, that we can move second or third or short or left field. I want to sign somebody so good at their position that we don't have to talk about moving them. I want an elite third baseman or an elite left fielder or an elite shortstop, not somebody that, because I feel like if we're moving them around, then they're not that great at that position for us to leave them there.
I understand what you're saying. You got to have a little of both, though, Kevin. I like them looking for guys that are flexible, and I think Ben Zobrist and some of the guys over the last few years that have helped teams win World Series, that flexibility is more and more important in baseball, and you see it certainly with the Chris Taylor and the Dodgers, and you've seen it with the Rays. A lot of the teams that have been the best teams in baseball have moved their players around quite a bit in the last 5 years or so. I think it's become more and more common. That's not to say that you shouldn't get a couple guys on your team that are solidly put wherever they are, but I think the Mariners believe that over time, that's Kelnick. That's Julio Rodriguez. Yeah, you probably need one more here. That's J.P. Crawford. That's one more. And the next thing you know, you got four or five guys set on your team every day, and then you do want some of that flexibility because baseball is about matchups, right? It's about getting your lefty against their righty or your guy who hits sinkers against their sinker ball pitcher, whatever. And having that positional flexibility, I think, is of enormous importance to them. There are moments, and I know we got to go to need to know here in a minute, but I'll say this quickly. when you see a guy platooning who hits 400, the answer, the next thing to do is not to complain that the manager isn't playing them more. You should be saying thank you to the manager for putting that player in a position to hit 400.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
The guy, lefty, who you're protecting against lefties because he can't hit them very well, and he hits 400, and the next thing I always hear is, well, why isn't he playing him more? He's hitting 400. No, he's hitting 400 because of the way he's playing.
Manager put him in
the
position.
And if he put him in a different position, he'd be hitting 220, and you'd be complaining. I love the positional flexibility. That's not to say you don't need a couple of guys that are so good, they don't move, you write them in, you know where they are every night. They do need those guys. But I'm not mad at the flexibility, no, sir. It's 9:15, time for Need to Know.
Need to Know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Yeah, fun talking with you guys about this Mariners team and where they're going. They did get on the board finally this weekend, finalizing a deal with San Diego to bring Adam Frazier, second baseman, to Seattle. Frazier, pretty excited about where he's coming to.
I'm excited about it. You know, the team's obviously trying to win right now, and that's what I want to do. So, you know, I got to watch them a little bit last year, followed along, you know, their second half, or just really fun to watch, and good group of guys that seem very close, tight-knit. So looking forward to getting in there and going to work with them.
Yeah, a few things to know about him. One, he's a .281 career average. That would have been second on the Mariners last year. Two, .344 on base percentage for his career. That would have been third on the team last year. So yeah, he can hit a little bit. He can also play, as we just talked about, multiple positions, second base primarily, but he can also play the outfield, etc. As a left-handed bat, you could see him platoon at times as well. Look, I like this deal. There's nothing not to like about bringing a good hitter like Adam Frazier to Seattle, but yeah, sure hope it's an appetizer and the beginning of more to come. Obviously, some upset people. The biggest potential name in the Mariners list signed elsewhere. Not only that, but he did it in the division. Rangers agreeing with Marcus Semien on a 7-year deal worth $25 million a year. Some other names coming off the board this weekend. Mark Canha, Starling Marte both go to the Mets. Sounds like in the last few minutes, they've also finalized a gigantic deal to bring Max Scherzer there as well. Kevin Gausman goes to Toronto. Avisail Garcia to Miami. Corey Kluber will be a Tampa Bay Ray. I do know the Mariners are busy. We've heard them today connected to Chris Bryant and others. I can tell you they're in on multiple targets on their board. I know they expect much more to come, but I also understand every fan out there who right now doesn't have a lot of trust, doesn't have a lot of patience, and wants to see the Mariners get better and fast. And I don't blame you. Look, we all decided together as a fan base, even though the decision was made for us, to commit to this and say, all right, we'll buy into this rebuild and we'll understand and show you the trust that for a few years you're going to take the payroll down and take the ability level and watchability of this team down with the understanding that you come back on the other side and build it back up better. Well, they've started that process and succeeded with a better farm system and an exciting product this year. The next step is to go good to great. And that takes place essentially today, because after today, we're probably looking at a lockout in Major League Baseball.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Simple assignment for the Seahawks. Go 7-0. Don't lose again this year. To do it, you got to start with a win tonight. They get that chance in the nation's capital. Won't be easy, obviously. Injuries mounting, especially as it relates to the running game. Rashad Penny, Travis Homer, both out of this game. Alex Collins has been limited in practice all week as well. So yeah, you'll see Collins, likely also to see practice squad running back Josh Johnson, who could get some carries, and then DJ Dallas as well. They got issues on the offensive line, though, too. Guard Damian Lewis going to miss this game. So will his backup, Jamarco Jones. We can talk about those guys. Running game's important, but at the end of the day, is Russell Wilson going to throw like Russell Wilson, or are we going to see him at 50% completion rate? Because that's not the Russell Wilson we've all come to know and love. He's been inaccurate. He's been tentative. The comeback from that finger surgery has not been what we've all expected it to be. So will another 8 days of healing be enough to see the real Russell Wilson? And then defensively, can they put enough pressure on opposing quarterbacks to cause turnovers, to make them uncomfortable? A win will put the Seahawks back within a win of a playoff spot, thanks to just tons of mediocrity in the NFC. This weekend, we saw the Vikings lose to San Francisco, Saints lose to Buffalo, Eagles fall to New York. So yeah, that seventh spot has a 5-6 record right now. Seahawks could get to 4-7 with a win tonight.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Congratulations and a big hearty go Cougs to everybody who roots for Washington State. It was a heck of a win on Friday, 27 points, their Apple Cup record, and first one they've won since forever, feels like. What is it, 2012? 2013. Quite a ride for their now full-time head coach, Jake Dickert, who was in his second year as a defensive coordinator in Pullman when Nick Rolovich was let go, along with half the staff, essentially. But since taking on the job, his team is 3-2. They've become bowl eligible. They won the Apple Cup, and this team sure seems to love him.
There's a lot of people at Washington State that believe in Jake Dickert and the entire Dickert family. We appreciate you. We need you to lead us. We all believe in you. So on behalf of our president, Kirk Schultz, our Chancellor Elizabeth Chilton, I'd like to formally offer you to be the next head football coach.
Pretty good. Meanwhile, for Washington, plenty of rumors they'll name their next coach as soon as today, more likely tomorrow. Two names who've been most heavily linked are Iowa State head man Matt Campbell, Fresno State coach Kalen DeBoer. But look, USC landed Lincoln Riley, so the pressure is on here to keep pace. And if UW really is one of the best jobs on the West, well, now's the time to prove it. Neither of those options has Riley's name recognition for sure, but I think Campbell's got the bona fides and a little bit of juice after he's had some success turning around a longtime loser in Ames, Iowa. So if you want to tell people to bow down, this is where you earn it. Find the right coach and move forward. That is everything you need to know.
We didn't really get to get into it earlier, but what are your wants and needs for the Seahawks tonight before we get out of here?
Ooh, man. Well, it's a good question. What do I want and need to see from them tonight? I think from the Russell standpoint, I want to see, like, Russell be Russell, right? I mean, like, don't you want to see, like, Russell Wilson just
decisive,
look like,
accurate?
Yeah, I want to see him be Russell Wilson. I need him to complete, like, 60% of his passes and not half.
Yep.
Right? I want to see them force turnovers. That's how you win football games. Pete says it's all about the ball. I need them to create pressure in order to do so. Right? Don't you need to see the team like get after a quarterback now and again? I want to see them run the ball, right? And I want to see them have success running the ball. Most of all, I need their running backs not to limp off the field after every carry,
especially on that field.
That's a great point. Yeah, I mean, with all the injury concerns that they have, going to play a game in Washington, hopefully the weather's not too bad because that field can get muddy and sloppy and gross. Yeah, those are all some
the fans or the stands can get muddy and sloppy and gross.
I know.
Remember that?
Ew, we're gonna have the sewage
break.
Raw sewage. I've been swimming in raw sewage and I love it. All right, Brock Heward up next. What was it like for him to watch his nephew Sam Heward over the weekend take on Washington State? And who will be the next coach of the Huskies? We'll ask Brock those questions and more next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Brock and Salk.
Brock Heward is my hero.
Every morning at 7:45 and 9:30.
Brought to you by Precor Home Fitness.
On the Mike Salk Show.
What Brock Heward says? No, he's not a friend.
Subscribe to receive new episodes of the Brock and Salk podcast at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
All right, Brock, I want to get right into it. We got so many things to do today with just kind of a crazy, crazy time here in Seattle sports. I'll start with you, though. What was it like watching Sam on Friday? Your uncle playing college football, getting the start for the Huskies. I know it obviously didn't go the way everyone wanted it to, but what was that like for you?
Yeah, a little bit surreal, not going to lie. Little surreal watching that. Where was I? What day was that? Friday?
Friday.
So I was at the airport. Yeah, I was at the airport in Salt Lake City. Thankfully, I had a couple hours there to watch it. And, yeah, pounding the bar stool a little bit and a little frustrated at times, screaming at the TV, why are you running the same stupid defensive front you ran against the air raid? This isn't the air raid. You don't just line up. Nobody's done that to them this year. Get after them. And they just were so passive and Delora was awesome, but they let him be awesome. And so I was super, yeah, I was pretty wound up. Most of my crew left me alone watching in my own place. So, and I was bummed for Sam. There were a couple that were just can't haves, and he knows that. And yet, you know, those are learning lessons that unfortunately sometimes experience is the greatest teacher of them all. So I was frustrated. I was proud that he kept slinging it. I'm glad they didn't bench him or pull him. I was super proud that he didn't flinch and kept giving his guys some chances and pushing the ball down the field and, you know, doing some of the things that he can do. And he can throw it, man. He can really rip it. And those guys had a hard time catching it at times. It was kind of a whole mixture of some rage, some surrealness, and just some, you know, just proud of him battling, because that's a brutal spot to be in.
Who are they going to hire?
It is either going to be DeBoer or Campbell, and I have heard from both sides of the spectrum. I've heard Campbell at first, and then it was all DeBoer, and then I've heard from some people that it's Campbell. And I think if we learned something from Lincoln Riley and then some of these different deals, that it does go down like that, that you can go back and forth, and all of a sudden one of those two men sleep on it tonight, and maybe it's Campbell and his family. They've got to figure out, you know, do we want to do this? You know, do we want to move from Ames, Iowa to Seattle, Washington? Are we all really in on this? And take in all that information, and maybe it's a no, and then maybe it's a yes, and it goes back and forth. I think DeBoer is probably, I hate to say, the fallback option, because that paints him in such a negative light, because football people respect him. And I think I texted you this last night. A couple of Notre Dame coaches, unprovoked, came up to me before the game on the field and just said, "Hey, man." So obviously they're hearing and knew that he interviewed, and just said, "If your alma mater gets Kalen DeBoer, he won't be the name. He's not like this big sex appeal, but that dude knows football and can absolutely coach it, and does a fantastic job of putting guys in the position for success, something obviously the staff did not do.
But don't you need to, I mean, if you're the Huskies one of the best programs on the West Coast and top 25 school and all that, don't you hire a guy like DeBoer once he's had success at Colorado? Not once he's had success at Fresno State?
Did he hire Chris Peterson after he had success at Boise State? Did he have to go to USC?
Unique example because of how long and how successful he was.
Do you
and the
need
number
to,
of
I know,
national
I know the point.
Big wins he
do
got.
Do you need to sign the name, or do you, or can you play the upside? Do you need to sign Marcus Semien?
Totally
or can
different
you play
situation.
Adam Frazier?
Totally different situation. You know it's a different situation because you taught me it's a different situation. College football is about perception and reality, man.
Yeah.
And the perception is if you can only get Kalen DeBoer, that you're not USC, you're not Oregon, and not just that you're not them because you already knew that, you're not close. You're not close to them. If they're signing
Lincoln
Riley,
and you're
signing the guy from Fresno who didn't even win the Mountain West this year,
that is the bump that Chris Peterson got you when he came to Washington. Scott Woodward was able to get Chris Peterson. Oh my gosh, right? And the guy that had won and beaten Oklahoma, and then all of a sudden, there is a huge bump in perception. And reality, and I'm not going to step back from any of that.
Because it was it was fairly risk free. That's what Lincoln Riley said. There's risk in everything in the world, but you've mitigated as much risk as you could with Chris Peterson.
Well, you sell. College football is a sales business. It is selling to high school coaches. It is selling to parents. It is selling to recruits. It's selling to alumni. It's selling to boosters. It's selling to athletic departments. It's selling in the ticket office. That is what big time college football is. And that is why USC went all in and was able to, and I think it was a smart move, frankly, for Lincoln Riley before Oklahoma goes to the SEC. I think that made a lot of sense. And yes, if you're able to sell Matt Campbell, who has been a wanted commodity in much the same vein as Chris Peterson, and Chris loves him, respects him a ton, I think would be one of his favorites. And we know that Chris is playing a huge role in this hiring process. And if he can convince Matt Campbell to make that move as well. From a sales standpoint, Mike, it is a very different pitch.
What about Dickert? Quickly, I want to ask you about the Seahawks, obviously, but what about the Dickert hire? What did you make of that?
He forced Pat Chun's hand.
Sorry. Sure did.
You can't go and interview anybody else, even if you wanted to, even if you did talk to DeBoer and talk to Joe Moorhead and talk to others. Sorry. you know what? We're going to play so well that I'm going to make this decision for you. I'm going to so infuse this locker room with confidence. And yeah, it's going to be a rebuild and there's going to be a ton of dudes on the O-line and defense and everybody in the front leaves. Like, this was a time to win. And they certainly did down the stretch and gave themselves a, you know, put themselves in position to win the North that the Beavers done their job. So in a rebuild situation, he, you know, I think Pat Chun wanted somebody with head coaching experience, but ultimately, sorry, Dickard said, yep, you can want that, but what you need is me and what I've shown what I'm capable of the last 2 months, hire me. And they did.
Seahawks going to be able to beat Washington tonight. Like, I am
they play tonight?
Horribly nervous about this game tonight. Yeah, yes. I have a really, I mean, look, maybe it means nothing. I just don't have a good feeling about it. The way here's Washington's the coming in playing, I don't know, yep. Just it doesn't.
Well, here's the one thing Washington does not do well, and this is the one thing. Like, if they can't, man, if they can't create explosives tonight, and that is through run game and through movement and through play action first, Mike, if they can't create explosives tonight, we've got a real problem. Because this Washington defense, that's the one thing that they do give up. That's the one vulnerability they have on the back end of their defense. So this could be a Lockett and Metcalf get right. That's what the NFL has been this year, man. Every time you think you know it, oh, yeah, Dallas, unbelievable. Got everybody. Nope. Nah, actually, they're going to lose a couple in a row. Raiders are done. Oh, they can't play. Oh, nope. They put together their best game. Buffalo, crown them, put them in the AFC Championship. Nope. They go and get blown out. Like, just when you think you know this league, this season, as much as I can remember that, you really don't. So maybe you catch in Washington, it's instead of a desperate team at the absolute wrong time, hey, man, they feel great about themselves. Look at this. We got the Seahawks limping in here, and we're going to pound them. And maybe the Seahawks finally, with, you know, a little extra day and obviously some wounds that needed to be healed, maybe tonight is the night they get right.
I sure hope so, man, because the idea of them being 3-8 –
well, how about yesterday just watching a ton of NFL and they put up all the graphics and all of the teams that are alive in both sides. It was with the extra wild card. And you see the graphic of the NFC. I think the only team not on it,
Detroit.
One or two teams, was just Seattle Detroit. And Detroit.
Yeah. Well,
no, you weren't even on it with four.
Oh, they didn't make
the other
it on
teams
there?
Had 4 wins. No.
Oh, you had to get to 4.
Yeah, you got to get to 4 to get on the graphic. You got to get to 4 to put yourself on the graphic and at least be within earshot.
Gosh,
so.
Brock, it really does feel like crossroads time right now in Seattle. I was saying this earlier, like, yep, for all of these teams, yes, like the Mariners have taken, yes, our trust for the last few years, and now they're at a crossroads. The, yep, Huskies are at a huge crossroads of their future. The Seahawks, God knows what happens with the rest of this year, and then Jody and the decision she's got to make this offseason.
Yeah.
We're at a crossroads.
No,
right
we
now.
Are. And it's not even necessarily like years ago when we started the station where everybody was horrible and you got to build it up. And oh my gosh, it's bad.
That's what,
no,
I was talking about earlier.
Right? I, yeah, mean, it was so bad. It was so bad then. That's not.
There it is.
Whoa. A little Bone Thugs and Harmony. Are you serious?
Brock knows who this is.
Was this my first date with Molly?
Was it?
When I was in my Canadian tuxedo, walking up and knocking on the sorority. And we go and hit golf balls, which I bombed and felt great.
Yeah.
Didn't get any praise. And then we get in her old Honda Prelude with the N2 Hoops license plate.
Oh.
And she's playing some.
Oh. Well, so she drove you around on your first date.
Yeah.
I guess I never heard that part of the story. I've, yeah, heard about the Canadian tuxedo and the golf
balls. I didn't
balls.
Have my car yet, Mike.
Right.
Okay? No, I hadn't thrown my touchdowns. I didn't get my Camaro and my Firebird, all right?
Wait, you had both?
I had to play a little bit.
Hold on,
sure.
You had both a Camaro and a Firebird?
No.
What do you mean? Your Camaro and your Firebird.
I had the hand-me-down 83 T-Bird.
Right.
Eventually. Okay. But I didn't have it at that point.
Okay.
So we had Bone Thugs and Harmony.
So you just
right
made
there.
Up the whole Camaro and Firebird scenario.
Well, it was a throwback to Billy Joe who put the program on.
He had those things. Yes. You just made up that you had. I
got
to
walk down memory lane.
Yeah.
I got to run here, man. We could do this. We'll do this, Wednesday. We'll be talking about this crossroads, I promise, yes, on the Brock and Salk podcast. You can get it at brockandsalkpodcast.com. Brock, thank you. We'll talk tomorrow.
And go Hawks.
All right, there you go. Thanks, buddy. Brock Heward with me every day, 7:45 and 9:30. All right, coming up, it is time to rank something that should be important to just about everybody this time of year. Everyone should be able to relate, or at least a huge portion of the population. We'll do it next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwumfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Every morning at 9:45 on the Mike Salk Show.
That top 10 list. I'm not buying that.
Ranked.
If you're following along, the Max Scherzer deal is done, according to essentially every baseball writer out there. $43 million a year.
My goodness. He's proved himself.
Yeah, 3 years, $43 million a year. Pretty good. 37 years old. Short-term deal, but a lot of money there for Max Scherzer. All right. Generally over the weekend, over Thanksgiving weekend, folks put up their Christmas decorations. So today we present the most important Christmas decorations on a tree, ranked.
It's a big one.
Now, I will say that I wanted today to talk about different lanes of traffic, so thankfully Justin and Maura talked me out of it.
Did you get to decorate, by the way?
I just didn't have strong opinions on that.
You don't?
No.
So you get stuck in traffic, four-lane highway, you don't have a strong opinion on which lane you want to be in?
Depends on what lane's moving.
Well, but they're all going to move at different times. You got to figure out which one. I mean, come on. Kind of car you want to be behind, which lane is the most chance of moving. A lot of thought process there. I did not get to decorate yet because we were gone. But here you go. You ready? Top five important decorations on the tree ranked. Number five, tinsel.
Tinsel's the worst.
The worst.
It shouldn't even be on the list.
That's because there's only five things.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a little dated at this point.
And it's hard to
fire
clean
hazard.
Up, too,
it's
right?
Gross.
Like, it falls, like, it just gets everywhere. It kind of feels like you're just throwing aluminum foil on your tree.
Yeah.
It is. Are we going fake tree or real tree? We start there?
I'm new to all this thing in the last, like, decade. I never did Christmas as a kid. I'm Jewish. Like, this is not a thing for me. But in the last 10 years, my wife is not Jewish, so we've gotten into Christmas. I'm now Mr. Christmas.
Whoa.
I don't know whether you know that or not. It's
did
a
not
title.
Know that?
It's a title that I've bestowed upon myself, but I am Mr. Christmas. It's the only way I can get into it is I have to essentially be the best at it. And I've become the best at it. I have the best taste in Christmas music.
Yeah.
The best taste in Christmas decorations. I really know how to do it. Right.
Okay.
So yeah, live tree.
Okay, tree. Live tree. Got it.
You?
Fake tree.
In Montana, they go fake tree? There's trees everywhere.
No. Everybody goes real tree.
Oh, okay.
I just hated that I always had to be like the one that got poked and stabbed by it by dragging it everywhere and cleaning it up after it and taking it out of that. It's the process of it, I just couldn't. I'm over it.
All right.
Tinsel five.
Number four, the star. Don't need it.
Don't need it.
Don't need the star.
Anything on top of the tree?
Nope.
Not a ribbon?
No, you don't need it.
Huh. Right.
Now, you can put something up there, but you don't need it.
Beer can.
I mean,
it's college.
Number three. I went back and forth on this one, two and three. But number three for me is the garland. I love the garland. Get a good silver garland, right? Like, it can really make, like, it magnifies the lights because they can kind of, like, mirror them and bounce the lights off.
Garland is just trimmed tinsel to me.
No, you got to have good garland.
Not ribbon?
Huh?
A ribbon over garland.
Like actual ribbons?
There's Christmas ribbon, yeah.
Put a ribbon around
tree?
Your tree?
Absolutely. I know this is new. You should Google it. New to you, I should say.
Does this come on your fake tree already?
No. Ribbon's definitely a thing people put on Christmas trees,
is your
man.
Fake tree naked, or does it have, like, ornaments and stuff
no,
on it?
No, it comes with, like, fake snow and pine cones and lights already in it.
Oh, my God.
It's the best.
Didn't you have a visitor into one of your real trees at your home?
Yeah, there was a bird a couple years ago. I had a bird come in. Twice I've been out when birds have come into my house, and my wife, especially my daughter, freaked out. Avery just freaked out about the birds. Not a fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, twice birds have come into the house. And, you know, Kyle hates birds.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's petrified of birds. So I was out in the golf course with him the first time it happened. Heather texted me. She's like, yeah, there's a bird in the house. Showed Kyle. He's like, move. He's like, you're out.
Burn
That's
it down.
The bird's house
you
now,
get
man.
Out of here.
Just
like,
get
you told
out.
Him there was a ghost or something?
There was definitely a ghost in my house. I've told you that story. That is freaky, man. TV turning on in the basement in the middle of the night. Freak me out, man.
No other explanation.
I sent Heather down to look at that thing.
No, I sent Heather down, of course. Good.
Go investigate.
Good. Okay, so that's number...
Number three was garland. Okay. Number two are the ornaments, obviously.
Yeah, sure. Homemade?
Oh, all kinds. I like, you know, I'm big into the red, just like the red ornaments, and I like to get them deep inside the tree. so that like the lights kind of like you can see like a hint of red in from coming from in the tree.
Okay. You are definitely new to this.
What are you talking about?
Hide your ornaments deep inside the tree?
Yeah.
All right.
Interesting.
We got a ton of ornaments, man. You got to throw them all in there.
Do you have a Christmas pickle?
You know what? We do have a pickle ornament.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, we do.
The Christmas pickle. It's who the kid that finds the pickle the first gets to open the first gift.
Whoa.
Well,
you gotta
hide,
hide the pickle in the tree, too.
Yeah. All right.
Now you're,
now you're making this uncomfortable. I'm not doing that. Whatever you just said, I'm not repeating. Finding it, maybe. Hiding it, no.
Didn't realize
you know the
it.
Old there's a really it. Really old bit, I forget who it is, you can YouTube it, where it's like a male female comedian combo, and like this is from like the 40s or 50s or something.
Oh, I'm sure it's really appropriate.
And no, well, it just they say a word and the guy says, is it clean? And then they say it a different way, is it dirty? And so it's like all kind of things like that.
Yeah, I'll look
like,
it up.
Hiding it clean or dirty.
Okay.
Finding it clean. Ornaments are number two, and the number one are the lights, obviously.
Yeah,
I mean, like, this is
no
the
debate.
Easiest list.
Yeah,
of
that's,
time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, Kyle Bonagura of ESPN, he's a staff writer, says UW Athletic Director Jen Cohen set to meet with Fresno State coach Kalen DeBoer today in Fresno. Sources tell him and Adam Rittenberg.
Really?
He looks so disappointed.
I'm not disappointed. Not my program. I'm not the one who shouts bow down all the time. Bow down!
So it's happening.
Sure sounds like it. Bow down to Kalen DeBoer. I wonder if he reads the internet. All right, we got to run. Be back tomorrow morning. Enjoy the Seahawks game tonight. Pete Carroll will be with us tomorrow. We got a lot to talk about tomorrow, huh?
Yeah.
See where all this goes. See whether or not we got a new coach at the University of Washington. See what the Mariners get done over the course of the day today. You're going to want to be here right at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Stick around for Jake and Stacy next. See ya.